So TJ, you probably heard the term "nice guy," you know, internet.
No,
nice guy.
I never heard it.
You never heard it before?
No, never heard.
What about you, Paul?
I have heard the term. Yes.
So what do you think it is, or do you know what it is?
I think it's like one of these guys that thinks that they're going to score a chick by telling chicks how nice they are all the time and how many flowers they buy for women and how many.
Yeah.
You know, how many dates that they pay for and how they open the doors for women and how they take care of women and care and they're sensitive and they cry and they watch chick flicks and stuff. Basically the opposite of what women want from a man, you know yeah. what I mean? And then get angry when women don't respond positively to them being the biggest pussy on the planet.
I'd say that's a pretty good off-the-cuff definition.
All right, cool.
It's a pejorative term referring to a social stereotype commonly associated with adult males who view themselves as caring, empathetic gentlemen in courtship to increase their potentials towards women.
Got it.
Yeah. Thank you for adjusting my mic, TJ, you piece of shit. Not to be confused with males who are nice in general. Of course, not. It's not saying any guy who's just nice. You know, of course, we're not trying to lump in all nice guys. I mean, nice guys do finish last, let's be honest. Nice guys have been criticized and by both males and females alike for being hypocrites or even misogynists, for potentially being driven by ulterior motives. They're not potentially, they definitely are. Mainly anticipation of sex. There are broadly about three schools of thought on nice guys. Number okay. one is that they are victims of women's irrationality or cruelty, and that women say they want nice guys, but in fact prefer to have relationships with jerks.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is like the incel.
Or alpha males.
This is the incel shit, basically, right? They're just like, oh, you know, they all want to sleep with these jerks and these assholes just because they're more attractive and better than me and everything.
I've got big dick energy, except I don't got a big dick. What gives? Yeah.
So basically, it's just a bunch of one, and they're all probably super picky too. Like they're just like, they expect some fucking hot supermodel to fall on their dick or something.
And when they don't, you know,
and when it doesn't happen, it's like society's fault.
I don't know. This dude's kind of studly right here. Why doesn't he have a hot supermodel jumping on his gentleman?
I don't know. We can
cock,
read his little thing.
His chin.
Well, let's got to get through the three things yeah. first.
The number two is that they are using a failed seduction strategy and need to learn or be taught to be alphas or seducers. So like this kind of like goes in the vein of like pickup artists.
Okay, I don't know if I know right. that I believe in the whole alpha thing or whatever,
either.
But if it is a real thing, I'm pretty sure you can't learn to be it.
Nice guys exist. It's for me, this whole internet nice guy thing is wrapped up in trying desperately to project that.
Yes.
Like you can be a nice dude and still get a chick. I'm living proof of that. I'm not a total douche, but you know what I mean? Like I said total.
Excuse me, sorry. No, I just had something in my throat.
He had something in his throat, man. He's got a health condition, man. Come on, Paul.
Sorry.
So the third is that the nice guy strategy of doing things for someone so that you have sex with me because women should do that or should reward niceness with sex.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's probably how I perceive these dudes.
Because, like, these guys are like, a woman will be like, can you fix my toilet? Because the guy's fucking, you know, a handyman. He fixed the toilet. And it's like, thanks. You know, we're buddies. And it's like, well, you didn't sleep with me, you fucking bitch.
I fixed your toilet. You ain't even going to suck my dick or nothing.
That's just a weird, misunderstanding of the sexual transaction, though. Isn't it, like, a total misreading of it? Like,
well,
sex?
Can we take a look at some of these guys specifically
now? Yeah, let's go ahead
now?
And take a look at some of these
So here's
guys.
This guy. We've been looking at him for a minute. He's been staring into our souls with his doughy fucking eyes.
So these are questions you answer on OkCupid to
so
better match yourself with other people.
Here's an excerpt of his profile. Tired of hearing all these girls talk about how all the guys are assholes because it's definitely not true. I'm one of the nice ones.
Also, you write an amazing run-on sentence with no punctuation and no capitalization.
Professor of English at Oxford University,
of
no
course.
Doubt. Which best represents your opinion of same-sex relationships? Girl on girl is okay, but guy on guy is wrong.
No, TJ, you didn't say that right. Girl on girl is okay, but guy is wrong.
I'm surprised that someone who writes like him had the wherewithal to put hyphens girl on girl and guy on guy.
When he's searching for his porn, dude, he's probably learned like girl hyphen on girl. Oh,
maybe
okay.
That's just a standard answer that he selected because it has punctuation. It's properly
right, that's
capitalized.
True. Right, dude, yeah.
Do you think women have an obligation to keep their legs shaved?
Yes.
Do you believe that men should be the heads of their households? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's so nice.
What a nice guy.
If I was a woman, I would think this is like my ideal nice dude, man.
Yeah, a dude that's going to keep you in the kitchen with your legs shaved, you know?
All right, so my self-summary, please read. This guy, you could tell he's smooth. He's sharply
he
dressed.
He's trying to project an image of
success.
The quirky fucking character in that 80s movie that always gets the girl in the end, you know what I mean?
Well-dressed, though. You got to give him that.
It seems to me that in this day and age, women out there toy about with a guy's mind and heart for their own amusement. That's always a great way to open your fucking dating site profile.
Please,
women are a bunch of cunts, in my opinion.
Yeah, women are just playing with men.
You know, this is kind of a perfect time to segue. Kind of we're on the topic of emotional manipulation and kind of douchebaggery and kind of representing yourself as something you're not. Here's to our friend here, Boogie2988.
Boogie. What, Scotty? He's the nicest guy on the internet.
Well, guys, I will say this.
That was always my understanding.
I will say this, guys. We're going to give a little brief bio, but I'll let the audience decide. There's the evidence. A lot of it's from Boogie's own words and his own actions, and you can judge based on that.
Okay. Boogie looks like he's got a boogie hanging here.
So,
yeah, he does, actually.
Stephen Jason Williams, born on July 24th, 1974. Good month to be born, by the way, Boogie. Also known as the online alias, Boogie2998, or just Boogie.
Boogie!
Is a YouTube personality best known for his video rants about video games, nerd culture, and as a character named Francis.
Okay.
Oh, man, dude. He was just shooting this fucking video right up his nose.
As of right now.
Presented in nostril cam.
Yeah, I believe Boogie has about 4.5 million subscribers, somewhere in that neighborhood. And a lot of you guys have probably already heard about Boogie.
Boogie to 988 coming at you live once again to the power of the internet. You may
draw
not know
my
me as
life.
Boogie to 988. You may know me as my character Francis, who gets really angry all the time and breaks stuff. But that's okay. I'm just glad you know me at all. A lot of people have asked me to draw my life story, and it's kind
of pause
sad,
it here for.
But I'd like to do that for you now.
Immediately, I have a sad life. The music is very dramatic, so they'll just want to make that observation immediately.
Well, of course. Everybody wanted this to be like a heart-wrenching tale, you know what I mean? Everybody thinks they've got a gut-wrenching life, so.
I mean, most people do.
Did you do this draw your life bullshit, TJ?
No.
Okay, thank goodness.
No, when I saw that trend, I was like, fuck that shit.
I think TJ's would have been interesting.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just pull out a whiteboard and draw a big fat dick on it or something and...
So I was born sucking dick. Then I sucked dick for the last 50 years.
You should bring it back, dude.
Bring back the draw my life.
Yeah.
No. Do it, TJ. Do it.
I grew up in the southwestern part of Virginia in a small town called St. Paul.
Okay.
And it only had about 1,000 people in it. And it was part of the coal mining belt here in America. And, of course, my dad mined coal. It was a very hard job, which made him very sad. And my mother was a teacher, but she was always very sad. And not only was she sad, but... She was pretty angry.
Everyone was sad.
Everyone was
dead. Nice boobs on that mom stick figure. That really brought home.
Yep. So he was mining coal, and he was sad, and she was a school teacher, and she was sad, and my town was sad.
My life
state was
sad,
sad,
and everything about me is
everything
sad.
Everything was sad, and then the sadness became sadder than the sad, sad, sadity, sad, sad, sad.
About her life and everything that had happened up till then.
Yeah, right. Gotcha.
We had a medium-sized family. I was the youngest and the smallest, and...
Excuse me.
Oh, come on, TJ.
All right,
my brother,
fine.
Brian, he was the oldest. He was pretty cool.
Come on,
my
TJ.
Sister Carla, she was kind of crazy, actually. And eventually, she ran away, and my brother went off to college, which left me alone at the age...
Which made me grow a mustache.
Nine,
very sad.
Crazy.
I turned into Super Mario.
And the next sad thing that happened to me was
so
I stubbed my toe.
I was always at work, and that left me alone with my mother, who was always sad all the time, and... Sometimes she'd get really angry and she'd scream at me, and that happened almost every day. And sometimes she'd hit me.
Aw.
And that happened every day too.
Well, why'd you say sometimes then?
So you're already kind of picking up on Boogie's. It's very inconsistent. He contradicts himself constantly when he's talking.
Sometimes
about
she hit me every day.
Yeah, it's sometimes like, what? Every day.
Is it sometimes or is it every fucking day?
But enough about that.
Enough about that. Yeah, we won't hear any more about
that.
I'm sure.
He was a pretty laid back guy, and he was kind of fun, but. By the time I came around, all Dad liked to do was drink, and he liked to drink Passion Ribbon, and he drank like 20 or 30 a day.
Oh, well, I could use some of that.
Pretty much all he did. And that's why if you ever meet me, you don't get to buy me a beer, you buy me a Mountain Dew instead. As a kid, I was always pretty much sick. Either it was my allergy.
I love how there's no possibility of you buying something for anybody.
Oh my god, man. This is just like a litany of fucking horrible shit. And then I was sick, and my dad was drunk, and my mom was sad. It's
so
just
let's skip to the middle.
The middle?
Because I want you to say
Does he ever start drawing himself as a big fat thing? Okay, good.
No, he's always happy.
Fortunately for me, something went bad.
Look, he's always happy, TJ.
Legs.
He's happy.
I'm just glad he stopped trying to pass himself off as a stick figure.
I got a condition called lymphedema. And a very mean doctor
oh my
tried
God.
To tell me that.
Very mean.
Yeah, everybody in his life is just horrible.
So I was stuck at Fayetteville.
His doctor's mean,
really
his teacher's is mean,
well,
parents are
really
mean.
I didn't really exercise very much. But that was okay because I had some good friends and we go out to eat all the time.
Yeah, I guess you fucking. I guess you did. It's like
all the time made me fatter.
He's fat.
And
yeah,
being fatter made me sadder, and I guess more fat.
That's about right.
Okay, yeah.
Ever been, but that was just the beginning of health problems for my family because my dad passed. And he died of cancer.
Cancer.
And that made my mom really.
Okay, so what else? Is there, like, any happy parts of this, or is it all
No,
just...
he didn't have a single happy memory from childhood that he could have woven into this.
So one day I'm sitting around, and I'm doing the different character voices that I do, and I decide that my character, Francis, would have to get hacked in World of Warcraft, and he'd get really mad about it and smash a keyboard in his face. And this cool guy by the name of Ray William Johnson saw the video, and he said, cool, 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 and he showed it to the world. And that... changed my life. Nobody was
so,
really
thank
watching
you, Ray
my
William
channel
Johnson.
Before, but then after Ray J mentioned it, everybody was watching my channel. And I was really excited because I was making a little bit of money from YouTube and I could support myself and it started my career.
Up, up, up.
And I couldn't have been happier. But
so there you go,
the saddest
positive
thing
event.
To ever happen to me was
yep.
about to happen.
Oh, God.
See?
But I got fatter. I mean, come on, Boogie.
While I was there, she died.
Okay.
And this made me sadder than I had ever been.
Didn't she hit you every day? And, okay.
I really oh didn't God. Know what to do with myself. So
wow.
That Christmas,
man, more tears. More tears.
But I didn't.
Jeez. Oh,
here
my
we
go.
God. Here we fucking go, dude. Come on. See, this just fucking
oh, he didn't do it because of you. You're the only thing keeping me going, you guys.
If I lose this channel, I'll kill myself with the news.
I mean, most people that make made these back in the day, there were sad moments in most
I mean,
of
yeah, look, everyone, look, life sucks, dick. Everyone knows that. But like, wow.
But most of the people ended, it picks up on a positive. It's like, you know, I started doing YouTube and my life changed. And here's all the amazing experiences
or
and
like,
opportunities I've had.
I mean, I didn't watch these. This is the first one I've ever seen because I knew it was just a lame fuck trend. But, like, did other people at least, like, weave in some, like, good stuff, too? Because, I mean, like...
I've seen about 5 or 6 of these, and this is the strangest one I've seen.
I mean, are
yeah,
they just,
yeah,
like...
The,
I'm
the
imagining
the oppressive sadness of this one is,
they're
like,
not all unremittent sorrow no. and sadness and joylessness, right? Like, no. there's, like... Then I went to college, and, you know, I struggled through the exam, but I met this girl, and,
yeah.
you know, I passed my classes, just barely squeaked by, and blah, blah. It's just happy moments in life, for fuck's sake.
No, not Boogie's life. Boogie has just had a tragic life, TJ, from start to finish. As soon as he came out,
fuck.
The doctor slapped him in the face instead of the ass, TJ. And that made him sadder than he'd ever been in his mother's womb, which, by the way, he was sad a lot in the amniotic sac, TJ.
Because
his mother's permeating sadness permeated that womb, and he remembers just weeping inside of that womb, TJ. And when he was a sperm
yeah,
in his dad's balls,
yeah,
constant attacks
other
from
sperm
the alcohol
picking on
he
him.
Was drinking,
yeah.
lowering the sperm count.
Other sperms were bullying him and
he
shit.
He just barely made it, and Damn. He was the little sperm that could, you know, TJ.
Brutal. What a brutal life.
Yep.
That sucks, man.
Even when his parents hadn't conceived him yet, and he hadn't been formed in his father's balls as a sperm, they thought about him and slapped him in their thoughts.
And he ended up taking a lot of things.
So you see a common theme.
Is there always this much repetition?
Oh, dude, there is, and Boogie is always a victim. There's always someone coming after Boogie. There's always someone attacking Boogie. Or Boogie's a victim of circumstance. He's a victim of something. He's a victim of some force somewhere. If it's anonymous people, a lot of times it's a, like kind of these anonymous people on the internet are saying bad things about him, and it's just, it's wearing him down. He's getting really upset, and then he's going to make comments that he's suicidal.
Mm.
And so, here you go.
So I ended up depersonalizing, and I'm like, dude, Listen to me. I can't do this tonight. I just got out of 72-hour fucking 72-hour suicide watch. My best friend has been watching my back ever since I landed. He knows I'm fucking suicide, having suicidal thoughts. He knows I'm thinking the worst things. He just left me alone for a little while. I can't fight with you right now. I can't deal with this shit. Could you please not? And I'm like, I'm going to block you so I don't have to see that shit. Please don't take it personal. But I can't do this shit right now. I can't do this shit right now. So please, fuck off. And I'm like,
do you know how to turn a computer off? Do you know how to turn a cell phone off or turn notifications off? God. Like, I really have a hard time buying anybody. And I understand, dude. I've been the victim of. I don't really consider a victim, but I've been on the receiving end of a hate campaign or whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah, the Milo one was crazy.
I mean, but I've had several, you know, over the time where it's just like my whole fucking shit is filled with negativity. But at the end of the day, it's on me if I read it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
My life isn't out there on Twitter. So it's like, if I'm getting a bunch of shit and I'm getting salty just sitting there reading all these negative comments, I just turn it off. Like, he acts like he's a captive to these people. I can't do this right now, man. I was suicidal. I'm a 72-hour suicide. Why are you explaining that to a troll?
Yeah, like, they care.
Like, why are you feeding that little nugget of info to a troll who is obviously getting his rocks off watching you react to this shit? Just turn off the fucking computer, dummy.
He wants your sympathy and he wants your money. And because if he and a lot of these people that are leaving positive comments.
So are you basically, Scotty, let me just clarify what you're saying. Are you basically saying that in your opinion, from what you've seen, that Boogie.
He wants love.
Uses this poor me kind of story.
Oh, constantly. It's everything out of his mouth.
Engender sympathy and financial support and to make people feel sorry for them so they stick around, so that they feel like. Some sort of personal connection, so they feel some kind of personal responsibility.
If you read
for
a lot of the comments that are
mental
positive,
well-being.
If you read a lot of the positive comments, it's like when Boogie shares something like this, it's like, you know what, Boogie, I had a time where I was suicidal too, and you talking about it is such a positive. So it's like he takes these people who have a very genuine, real life, you know, trauma. And
you saved my life, Boogie.
And yeah, like the people like that, they really did in that way help. And he just is like, yeah, see, I'm doing all this good. I'm such a good person. So he feels good about that. But he's really just exploiting that because, I mean, it's like he's talking about these issues, but it's not like he's talking about it, I think, from a perspective of, like, I really want to help people and make raise awareness about suicide.
Boogie is hardly the
he
first
wants that attention.
Internet personality to engage in that emotional feedback loop where it's like, if I pour me on the internet and I've got a fan base, they're going to come and go like, oh, dude, we love you, bro, blah, 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 blah. He just, and like, everybody has done that. Like, TJ, you've probably fucking posted some shit where you weren't feeling all that great. And
sure.
Some,
I mean, look.
You know, and people fucking send you nice things. Oh, I love you, TJ, this, that, and the other thing. Makes you feel good, right?
Sure.
Well, a guy like Boogie needs that all the time.
So it's basically
he
just
needs
a way
every
of,
day. He needs
it's
every
a way
day.
Of life for him.
Right.
He needs that constant reinforcement.
And he gets it because he's got this fan base of his trained to anytime somebody attacks him, if he makes a centrist statement that, you know, makes no sense or that some, you know, left or right wing personality picks up on and picks apart. He needs that immediate defense. He needs to hear that despite the arguments being made, which he won't touch, he's right still. And his fan base is trained like a bunch of little fucking guard dogs.
It's very insular.
To anytime anybody says anything negative about Boogie.
So basically,
there's no valid criticism.
So because listen what he's doing here. Right. He's not just telling a story about somebody harassing him. Yeah. He is putting out into his fan base that when people say mean things about me, I get suicidal.
Yes.
I'm going to hang myself because people are saying mean shit to me. And I can't do it anymore, guys. What is that telling his mostly teenage fan base to do? Take my defense. Go out there and fight for me. Inundate me with positivity constantly.
You're picking on me, basically. Like, I'm too weak to defend myself.
And
please.
He's a grown-ass man. He's older than me.
Yeah.
He's 44, 45 years old.
And I couldn't fucking believe this shit. And so here I am. I just had a girl over. I had a girl just coming over. And is this someone I know in real life? Nope. I just interacted with the wrong person on Twitter. And so he did a welfare check. And I appreciate that.
Gotta get paid to get laid, y'all.
You know,
suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Remember that, Boogie.
Right, and as I try to explain to this person, as
somebody paid $3 to spit that old fucking anecdote at him.
If I haven't harmed myself yet, I'm not going to.
What?
Maybe he was genuinely worried.
How does that logic hold up? Everyone before they harm themselves hasn't harmed themselves.
Correct. Unless they've done it previously.
Well, no, but there's always a first time, right?
Sure, yes, of course.
So
I agree with you there.
I mean, that doesn't hold logical sense.
I haven't done it, so
I'll never do it. If that was true, then no one would ever do it. So that's obviously wrong.
It's obviously what I'm reading here is that I had no intention of doing it. I just wanted sympathy on the internet. So then some asshole actually took me at my word, and the police showed up.
Yeah, how dare you? I want you guys to show concern for me, but not enough concern to inconvenience me with police visiting me and making sure I'm not going to off
myself.
That's
pretty much what he's saying here. Like, look, I'm not going to do it enough, so I might bitch about it, but let's not send the police to bother me. Because actually, I have no intention of ever harming myself.
Okay.
Then the last thing you should do is send a cop to someone who's suicidal's front door. Do you know how
What?
No, that's absolutely... What? That's 100% what you should do.
And see, this is him scolding this person.
For being concerned?
No. Here's the thing. Think about it, TJ.
Gotcha. Thinking about
Boogie threatens suicide.
Yeah.
Does he want cops coming over? No. What does he want?
Don't do it, Boogie. We love you, Boogie. You have so much to live for, Boogie. Remember, suicide is a temporary or whatever.
Temporary solution or temporary problem. Suicide, whatever the fuck the cliche is.
Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary
There you go. Scott,
he doesn't want to actually deal with any of the consequences because, in my estimation, he never had any fucking intention of hurting himself in the first place.
No, definitely
He's
not.
Using it as a tool of manipulation, and somebody in his fan base took it upon themselves to get worried enough to call in a wellness check or a welfare check on him and did so, and he's scolding now the entirety of his fan base to let everybody else know, hey, I want the positive comments, but I don't want the cops.
And if you can prove to me, you called me no names this summer, if you can prove to me you showed me no names this summer, I will literally take Sam to the pound. I will literally take him to the pound and find him a new home. I swear.
Please don't do that. What?
Yeah, please don't do that. What? We love animals too much.
I will find. No, I'm saying I will find him a new home. I will find him
no,
a new home.
No, keep your dog. How?
Keep your dog, what? Please.
I want you to keep your dog.
Yeah. I'll take my dog to the fucking pound.
Hold on.
Look at that chat. You have deep emotional issues, Boogie. Yes.
Hold on. I want him.
I only block people who call me names. And if you
I'm trying to grasp
to
this.
Me, if you can prove to me.
If it's not deleted,
the reason I blocked you, you called me no names this summer. If you can prove to me you showed me no names this summer, I will literally take Sam to the pound. I will literally take him to the pound and find him a new home. I swear.
Please don't do that. What?
Yeah, please don't do that.
Sounds to me like Boogie doesn't want his dog anymore, and he's trying to look for an excuse.
So wait. He's talking to...
He blocked somebody, and he said...
I don't know who he's talking to.
He's talking to who gives a fuck.
Right.
And accusing that person of calling him names. That person saying, I never called you any names. And he said, if you can prove to me you hadn't called me any names this summer...
I will give my dog to the pound?
I will literally take my little fucking dog, who I proclaim to love more than anything in the world...
To the pound.
And have made multiple tearful fucking Twitter posts about how he saved you from suicide and shit. I'm going to take that little dog to the pound if you can prove to me that you didn't insult me on the internet this summer. If a woman doesn't come and submit to all of my, you know, needs and wants, then I might just put a gun in my mouth if that happens, though. And I promise it won't. Don't you love that, too?
Oh, yeah.
If I ever succumb to my depression and anxiety.
Which I won't, so don't call the police or anything.
Which I absolutely promise I won't.
But if I do.
But if I do, know that it wasn't the hate.
It was the sickness.
Oh, my God.
It was the mental illness within me that I just couldn't overcome.
So the last part of Boogie is we're going to talk about his Tesla.
Tesla, yeah. I have heard about this. I don't really know what it's all about, but... I've heard something about him.
It's an ever-evolving story.
Buying a Tesla, or then he didn't buy a Tesla. He did buy a Tesla. He's trying to eBay for a Tesla. I don't really know what the fuck.
So look at this here. It says, I legit just bought a Tesla. This is my first new car in my lifetime. I'm shaking, baked, so excited. So, sitting here realizing, I bought a car I can barely afford. You would think my anxiety would be going nuts. It isn't. Let me scroll down a little bit. You bought what?
That's his roommate.
Yeah, roommate.
You bought a what?
Me, Tesla.
Where is it?
They're building it at the moment. Be here in a few weeks.
What?
So then go up.
Okay, so then there's this over here.
I thought you already bought a Tesla.
So someone's asking, I thought you had already bought a Tesla, and then he says, nope. Hope that goes to show you how bad this game of telephone the internet plays really is. I test drove one, put down a deposit, might still get it, might not. We'll decide after VidCon.
Wait a minute,
this is later?
Yes.
So this is after, I mean, there's literally three tweets here where he explicitly said, there's no telephone being played here. Unless this is all just fake tweets that didn't actually happen.
No, these are legitimate tweets.
So then this person says, I think the confusion is people assume putting down a deposit means you've... No, the confusion is he explicitly stated he bought a car.
Yeah, he bought the Tesla.
And then he says it's not confusion. It's people being purposely obtuse to fit their narrative.
Get a recap of the hypocrisy, here it goes. He said he bought a Tesla and could easily afford it. It would arrive in a few weeks and he would destroy his old car in France's sketch. Then the narrative shifts. He said he could barely afford it and went on stream begging for donations. After getting called out that he could, that he said he could easily afford it again, he was being sarcastic when he begged for donations. So it wasn't serious. He didn't really want the money.
I got this figured out already. I know exactly what happened with this.
Okay.
Boogie, having the aforementioned ego that we've discovered that he clearly has, right?
Yeah.
Wanted to brag because he bought a fucking Tesla. But then he realized, holy shit. If all these teenagers and young adults that are scraping by know that I'm buying a Tesla off of them, they're probably going to stop sending me money. So I better make it out like I did something wacky and crazy and bought a car I can just barely squeak by and afford. And then deny I ever bought the car.
Never even bought it. Don't even know. What? Tesla? I never even heard of that.
Never heard of... What is a Tesla?
And then he
quit playing telephone. People are being obtuse.
If you go to the next one, then he blames people.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually, this isn't the one.
Oh, say, so it must be this one, right?
Yep.
So this one, he says, explained it in the video. Long story short, I put down a $2,500 down payment for them to build one to my specs. That's buying it. Yeah. If you've paid them to start building a car, you've bought the car.
I plan to pay half in cash and finance the rest. This is a $100,000 car, by the way, so Boogie's really hurting for cash.
The internet lost its mind. I realized I couldn't put it in videos. What? Decided to wait a year. Year or two?
Now it's their fault, TJ.
Oh, so he lost his Tesla?
Because of them. So he's not going to get it anymore.
Okay.
He didn't lose it. He engaged with the company to start building one and then probably canceled his order.
Okay. So then someone's saying, weren't you saying how much you don't get paid but might buy a Tesla, or is it just to drive it and then dip, lol? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
YouTube ad pays very little. My sponsors pay a lot. I can easily afford this vehicle. Something, my sponsors on the channel. And then, so less than one day later, so sitting here, this is the part where he says he can't afford it. I can easily afford it. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Paul.
Oh, I know I'm right. This is a total, like, I wanted to brag about the big flashy car that I bought, but my monetization model is largely based on fucking stream donations and shit.
Right.
So
we did one last stop. Stop by my mom's final resting place to say goodbye. Amazing to let it all go.
Oh, it's on the document. That's why we didn't say it. Yeah, so this is basically, now,
so this is,
look right here.
So what is this?
This is Boogie.
At a mausoleum.
At his mother's mausoleum, sitting in a chair in front of her grave with somebody filming a multi-angle shot of him vocalizing his final goodbyes to his mother for the internet.
And look, wait. He is actually looking at the camera, waiting for the moment. Now
yeah,
you
he
go.
Wants to know that it's rolling before he starts talking to the corpse of his dead mother.
Further than that,
so that he can release it on the internet.
Was this chair just in the mausoleum, or did he drag this into it?
No, they probably put something in there so people can sit at the graves and shit.
Yeah.
So he goes in there to the mausoleum, and instead of having some kind of heartfelt personal moment, it's got to be, of course,
it's got to be announced on Twitter.
And announced.
And then a video is shot of it so that he can release it to his fans so they can see how emotionally torn he is.
Okay, rock on. Let's see.
Bad vibe. Big bad vibe.